Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
And I am joined, as always, by Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we deal with a 40-40 tie down in Dallas as we head into a weekend without Packers football. Bummer. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
the offense.
We got the bad. We got
the defense.
We got the ugly. We got
special teams. Another block kick, Corey. Another block kick. Another kick to my soul. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I love listening to us on delay when the show starts, but I think I got that fixed. I'm annoyed with
you're
everyone
annoyed at
right
the
now.
World right now.
I'm annoyed at everybody but the Green Bay Packers. I'm just going to be honest with you right now. It's so funny. I should be the most annoyed at the Green Bay Packers, but I'm just annoyed with like the world. It's just annoying, and I'm talking about Packers, but it's just annoying.
It can be and is at times, certainly when, you know, you see some of the hot takes out there and some of the reactions to the hot takes and how it becomes kind of a snowball effect. But, you know, we've got an hour or so here to talk about it and get into it, and we most certainly will. But first, we got to give a shout out to our friends over at Nicolay Law. Support for this episode of Packer Transplants Live comes from Nicolay Law, a personal injury law firm serving folks across the Midwest. If you've been injured, you need more than just a quick payout from the insurance company. You need someone who will actually fight for what you deserve so you can focus on healing and moving forward. That's what Nicolay Law does. They help people get the best possible outcome. No upfront fees, no legal jargon, and no big egos. Just local attorneys who have your back when it matters most. To learn more, visit NicolayLaw.com or give them a call at 1-855-NICOLAY. Corey, I got to tell you something. There were a number of things about that game that annoyed me. But I'll tell you what. This moment of hotness that we're about to witness, it was not one of them. So let's get to it, shall we? For the hotness. Now, Corey Banky, you're faced with a 4th-and-6 game on the line. You don't convert. The game is over. You have lost in front of the entire nation. Would you suspect you would be targeting a rookie wide receiver in such a case, in such a place, in such a moment? Would that be on your to-do list, Corey Banky?
I mean, if he was taken in the first round of the first ever draft held in Green Bay, yeah, probably.
Probably. And you know why? Because you can count on him to do the right thing and ball out in a very, very big moment, which is exactly what Matthew Golden did. The way he sets this up, the way he threatens this linebacker, gets his hips turned, threatens him deep, and then sits down in the zone. Let's take a look at this. This is hot. This is hotness, ladies and gentlemen, from Matthew Golden. There he is in the slot. That backer's fearing for his life, thinking he's getting taken deep. Just turns around, presents himself to the quarterback. First down, on we go. That is hotness from a rookie receiver who continues to get better each and every week, ladies and gentlemen.
I liked it.
Love it. Love it. Enjoyable. Absolutely. Very enjoyable, no doubt about it. What might not be as enjoyable, but we do have to eat our vegetables, as we like to say. Got to get to some Packers news, Corey, starting with Devontae Wyatt, who we all saw go down in that game out there on the screen pass. Devontae Wyatt is considered week to week with a knee injury. And I got to admit, Corey, that's probably a bit better of an outcome than I was expecting, given how he looked getting off the field there. I was really worried we were going to get much worse news than that from Matt LaFleur yesterday. But apparently, week to week. So hopefully, obviously, back sooner rather than later, but not season ending, not long term. we'll see if they might not even place him on IR, which would even be even better. And then talking about more positive injury news, Christian Watson could practice next week. Corey, This feels insane, right? Like the idea that we saw him go down in that game against the Bears there at Lambeau Field, last regular season game last season. Here we are coming out of the bye week 5 into week 6, and he could be on the practice field. That's incredible news. And obviously, I don't want to mislead anybody. This doesn't necessarily automatically mean that he'll be playing against the Bengals. But just practicing is obviously a huge step forward. Once he does hit the practice field, they have 21 days to activate him to the active roster. So it could be Bengals game, though I do think that's unlikely. Could be the next couple of weeks. So exciting to get him back out there regardless. One other move that the Packers have made is releasing offensive tackle Brant Banks, who was signed to the 53 for the Dallas game, but now will undoubtedly be brought back on the practice squad. That would be my guess anyway. There's nothing for sure about that. But this also would, I would hope, tend to portend something good for either Zach Tom or Belton.
I was wondering, like, it's not that Brant Banks is bad. It's more that somebody else is close and ready to go. It's
hopefully close to 53. Hopefully good to go. Exactly. So we'll see what happens in that regard. And then finally, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler putting this out there that Romeo Doubs and the Packers have had cursory extension talks. Interesting that this news drops right after his big game down there in Dallas. You know, a bunch of touchdowns and really effective throughout that evening. This, I got to admit, this is a bit of a surprise to me. Bit of a surprise. I know clearly they would love to keep everybody, right? But as we often talk about, you can't pay everybody. It's awfully difficult to do so. And given the draft capital that they've invested in that position, going to be interesting to see if they can find a number that Romeo Doubs and his people would sign up for. But they're talking. They're talking. That's good news, man, because you saw how valuable Romeo is in that game on Sunday night. I mean,
oh yeah,
that was an outstanding performance from Doubs, no question about it. Speaking of offensive performances, let's talk about the offense. And as good as it was, and as many points as they scored, I'm sorry, Corey, I'm going to start with a bit of a negative, because I know we're really excited by what we saw. We just talked about Matthew Golden. Jordan Love has been on an absolute heater. He was insane in that game. We'll talk about him in a bit. But so much of the kind of narrative and discussion coming into this game, Corey, was about the poor play of the offensive line in Cleveland, right? No doubt about it. It was a very substandard performance. Head into Jerry World, and you've got Jordan Morgan at left guard, and you've got Darian Kennard at right tackle. And I thought as the game went along, they improved and played better and better as things unfolded, as they got comfortable. But going back and watching it again, I got to say, man, through these first 4 weeks, not just particularly in the Dallas game, though I don't think either one of them played particularly well in that game either. Man, both Rashid Walker and Elgton Jenkins have to play better. They have to play better across the board in both run blocking and in pass protection. And I'm not saying they're playing poorly. I'm not saying they're terrible. But, man, these are your two veteran stalwarts, right? Jenkins specifically is supposed to be one of the best players on this roster. And right now, he is not that. He is not performing near that level. They have got to get more out of both of these guys. And I know it's easy to look at the play at the end of the first half where Walker gets beat and the forced fumble happens and the Cowboys have great field position for the touchdown to end the half. And that's an easy one to point to. But, man, down in and down out, it is just nowhere near consistent enough at tackle. And center has been an adventure. And that's very unexpected given how good these players have been in the past.
I mean, if we're really being honest, center has been an experiment ever since Corey Linsley left. Like, let's
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
And, you know, I do think it's not fair to Elton I don't think it's fair to Elton as a player to like dump center on him. Really, we haven't seen him be able to play center till this year, really. I mean,
right. There was that one stretch in 2020 where he played a handful of games. But outside of that, you're right.
I mean, what's the backup plan for if he doesn't really, you know, that's the thing. It's like we just haven't taken, I just don't think, and I think, you know, if Brian was here, he'd probably argue this point with us, but I just do not, if you go back to David Bakhtiari missing the playoff game that he missed,
right, yep,
to today, the play at left tackle and center, and Rashid Walker's been good, but we've not really had an A. We've not really had an A person in those two really critical positions on the line.
Yeah,
and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a lack of willingness to pay for that position. Maybe it's a lack of development at that position for like who was behind. You know, we just I feel like for the years leading up to before Corey Lindsey left, even before then, we always did a pretty good job of, you know, making sure there was the next man up at center. And I don't know that we got caught flat-footed in that development area.
To your point, they tried. They thought they had when they drafted Josh Myers. Clearly, that was not the answer. They used him for all 4 years of his deal.
Yeah, but then Brian didn't do his usual timeline thing where, because like just scooting a guy sideways is different than like getting ahead of the timeline, right?
Agreed. Totally agree. And it's, like I said, I'm not saying they're playing bad football. It is really inconsistent and nowhere near the level that we've seen them play at before. So I just wanted to put that out there because there's been so much kind of hand-wringing and consternation about everybody else on the line. And I never see these guys get talked about. And I'm not trying to call them out or anything like play gotcha or anything like that. And I'm also not saying anything they don't know or the coaches don't know, right? But they've got to play better. They have to. Like, this offense can be exceptional if they get better play up front from these two players in particular. So that's something that really jumped out to me rewatching the game. Another thing that jumped out, we highlighted Matthew Golden in the hotness, but oh my God, Corey, you know, it's not a perfect analogy, but man, all I could think of going back and watching Golden in this game was like, hey guys, what's up? What do you mean to do? I'm going to be over here. Okay. You want to be over there? Okay. I'll be over there. Okay. What's it? Like, I just need this kid to calm down a little bit because he's so talented and it's so clear he wants to make a play in the worst way.
Yeah, from the spin move to the
running backwards into his own backfield.
The running backwards, but also like that first play where he catches the ball, and I don't think he's like supposed
in the
to
right
like
spot. That's, yeah, like, Matt talked right about spot. That. No, he's well, I love how Matt put it. He said sometimes like a guy will beat a guy off the line of scrimmage so badly, which is what he did. You know, that he just throws the mailbox up. He throws his hand up and says, I'm open. I'm going deep. The problem is like he did that into another route. He did that into Wicks' route. So,
And is teachable that what moment is, I didn't there. Catch Matt there, but that's what Matt said. Yeah. He basically runs into Wicks' route. That's which was what we thought. That's what
he's
we thought
to be running,
that night, too.
Yeah, exactly. He's supposed to be running a corner, but he just kind of drifts upfield because he's beaten his guy so badly. He's wide open, and he knows they don't have a safety over there. So he's like, if he can just put it on me, I can walk into the end zone. The problem is Wicks is dragging his guy into that space because he's running around. So, yeah, again, Golden, it's so exciting. You can see the talent. He's a work in progress. I just need him to breathe a little bit because, man, it's exciting when he gets the ball in his hands. It's exciting to watch him play. But, yeah, he's all over the map right now.
And you can tell on that one in the Browns game where he like runs out of bounds, you know, and you're like,
bro,
you're too excited. You're too much of a bunny rabbit right now.
It's good though. It's exciting. A lot of promise there, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And finally, Jordan Love just kept delivering in that game. I mean, think about how many times the offense is on the sideline after, did our job, put another touchdown for you guys. And then the defense just gives the lead right back. And Jordan Love and the offense got to go right back out there and do it again and again and again. It was really impressive, Corey. And I don't know about you, but I did feel myself kind of through that second half going, oh, God, when is the mistake going to happen? I got to admit, I really did think, not just necessarily Jordan, but on offense, like a fumble or a tip ball or whatever, you know, that creates havoc, etc. And it just never occurred, man. It just never happened. They just delivered. Jordan just kept delivering. That was exciting. That was exciting to see.
Yeah, and I mean, it's hard because this team will show you its mistakes and all its stuff. And I think we said this in week two, like there's only room to grow. There's things from this team, like they make it seem so easy. And I think we take for granted how good this offense actually is. And then at the same time, you're like, how in the hell do we get to a place where we don't know how to play in overtime, or we don't, you know what I mean? Like, how do we not know? Like, isn't there someone who goes, like, you know how they have like DEFCON 1 through 5? Like, is there someone that goes, hey, we want to be in speed 1 or speed 3 or speed 5, right? We're trying to drag out the clock. So now we want to be in speed 1. Okay. Now we're trying to go as fast as we can. So we want to be in speed 5. Like, do we even have that? Like, do we even know? Like, shouldn't that be part of the play call? Like, we're in a trend here. What are we trending towards? What's the speed we should be playing at? It just feels like, it feels like we're missing some levels in our, like, approach with players of understanding where they need to be when, as opposed to, like, I don't think we should trust the players to just be like, oh yeah, there's only 3 minutes left in overtime. Like, where is the coaching when it comes to, like, where the tempo needs to be, right? And
dude,
who's making the call?
For someone who doesn't, because I know I do, and lots of the blogosphere does, as far as, like, consuming every live moment of a LaFleur press conference or an Adam Stenovich press conference or whatever. But you just nailed it, because that's exactly what LaFleur took responsibility for in his press conference yesterday. He was asked point blank, like, is that the quarterback's responsibility? He said, no, that's my responsibility. And he clearly had not gotten them ready for this particular instance, situation, whatever you want to call it, because they do tons of situational stuff during training camp. I talked with Andy about that. Like, we go out there all the time in these practices at Radnitsky Field where, okay, here's the situation, right? It's fourth and whatever. You got to do this. You got this much time on the clock, blah, 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 blah. They do tons of that. But they certainly haven't drilled home when the urgency is needed, in and out of the huddle, to the line of scrimmage, check that you're on the line, blah, blah, blah. And knowing, and it was interesting to hear LaFleur talk about, like, okay, at this point we're in 2 minute, but then we're in hurry up, and now I need everyone doing this, but they're all doing that. And to me, that was kind of fascinating to see a team that just didn't have the wherewithal or the awareness of, okay, we can take our time. And I do think some of it, and I love Matt as a coach. I think he's a phenomenal coach, but I do think he is his own worst enemy at times. And that popped up again at the end of the game in overtime where he's thinking about the other team. He's thinking, I don't want to leave any time for Dallas because I don't want them to have a good return or one play and they're in field goal range because that kicker can kick it from 100 yards away, whatever. He's thinking all that instead of, let's go score a touchdown and win the game, man. And he's so preoccupied because this is not the first time this has happened, not in an overtime, but always at the end of halves when they're possessing the ball and they're trying to milk as much time as they want. And, like, he's not the only coach that does this. It drives me nuts because it's kind of the way of the NFL now, like spending as much time as possible at the end of the half. So you milk the clock so they don't get the ball back. And then you try to either push it into the end zone or kick a field goal. He got caught getting too cute in that regard. And because he's handing it off and because they're kind of just musing as much time as possible, I think that got in the players' heads. Like, we don't need to go fast. We're trying to kill the clock, so to speak. And then he wonders, oh, wait, why aren't they working with urgency? Well, because that's how you're operating, you know? It was, like I said, I did think Matt did a very good job of explaining everything in his head during that very odd kind of moment there, the last 3 minutes, essentially. And I kind of felt bad because it's like, if he goes up there and just says, it's my responsibility, I need to fix it. Like, he just boilerplates it, right? Everyone attacks him online. Everyone's talking about it on radio or whatever. But I thought he did a very good job of expressing what he was thinking in the moment, the lessons that needed to be learned from it. And of course, everybody still just kills him. You know, So
well,
it's like
I did appreciate
these guys to be transparent, and then when they are, we kill them anyway.
I did see that part of the press conference because our buddy Tyler did an amazing little Twitter video,
outstanding video,
incredible. Which it seems like that video is that video to me is like a slant, because a slant seems easy.
Yep,
it seems incredibly easy. It seems like you're always going to be able to have it, but you can't. Like the marriage of LaFleur talking and the game footage, it's genius.
Yep,
it was genius.
And the highlighting of the timing, and so well done.
It was genius.
That was
that was one of my favorite things to watch, like of a press conference. To be honest, I wish all press conferences, if the Packers would just let us
reference
like,
game
up
video
the press conferences, and you could just watch an entire press conferences, and based on what they're talking about or the question, you could, that would be cool. That's a whole thing. The Packers should just do that.
That's a great idea, and they could do that. We'll talk to.
Yeah, we can't do that on YouTube.
We are not allowed to do that, but we can have. Yeah, that's. Hey, Duke, I know you watch every week.
That's
an idea for free. Just for
that's 100% under fair use copyright, but that doesn't like just because it's allowed under the law doesn't mean you can do it.
Nope, especially on YouTube. Damn.
Especially if you're not. Yeah, if we had a million subscribers, we could do it. Because then
we're on our way, Corey, with 100.
Yeah, it's only going to take us another 50 years.
118,000. Oh my God. All right. I've avoided it as long as I can. But now, Corey, we got to talk about the defense. We got to talk about Chef Hafley burning the meal. Remember when we were talking about Chef Hafley? Remember when we were cooking up all these wonderful dishes for us to enjoy? And then Chef Hafley stepped in the kitchen and just set it on fire on Sunday night.
I mean, here's the thing, and I talked about this in rehearsal a little bit. We do rehearse the show sometimes.
All right, we talk a little bit.
There is a Venn diagram here, okay?
All right, yeah.
Dak Prescott arguably performed one of the best offensive performances of discipline that you will see in the NFL. You got to give the guy props.
Yes.
I think maybe, and here's the thing. I always talk about, I wish we had more of a short and intermediate game. And honestly, I think the thing that we were shown that on Sunday night was more about the discipline it takes to play a short, fast game. And it's the fast is as important as the short. If you watch Dak, every time he's going to his number one or his number two right away, like there's no, it's just clear. I think there were only three plays in that entire game that were longer than three step drops. And those we had opportunities on even in the underneath the threes to get there. But the thing that I wanted to say is I think there's a Venn diagram between our defense's inability to defend against short and fast and our offense's inability to have a short and fast game. And I do think that is going to be an Achilles for the rest of the season, because had we been able to play that same game Dak played against us against the Cleveland Browns, we would have kicked their ass.
I don't disagree. I think that's very
astute. So I wonder, but I wonder if because our lack of a short, fast game has allowed our defense to not understand how to play against a short, fast game. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Do you know what I mean? Because you're good at what
you don't see it in
practice,
right? Yeah. You don't see it a lot, right? Even in the scout team, you're not doing that to that extreme, because the game plan was very specific to get the ball out of Dak's hands as quickly as possible. There's a couple of times, I mean, more than three or four, where Dak is literally one step away from taking out, or I'm sorry, Micah Parsons is a step away from taking out, like just decapitating Dak, but the ball gets out of his hands. You know,
I don't think there are many. Besides second string, I don't think there's many first string quarterbacks that can put that disciplined of a performance on tape for four quarters. The only reason the Dallas Cowboys were close and all the way in that game was the discipline of their offense and Dak Prescott and their offensive coordinator to play that game for four quarters.
They were so patient with it. Yeah, I totally agree. And then every once in a while, when it presented itself, whether it was the shot to Pickens up the left sideline or the really incredible throw up the right sideline, the two long ones that they hit, they took the shots when they were presented. Now, they were incomplete also at times, but of course you only remember the completed ones because you're frustrated by the defense giving up 40 points, being marched on repeatedly. And it was just kind of head-scratching how it was so clear this was their – we talked about it on Watch Party throughout the game. It was so clear that this was their approach, this was their game plan, and they were very effective in, you know, executing it. It never really felt like Halfley adjusted to it. I know, no. Like, they obviously ran man every once in a while. They went to man, I want to say, like, a little over 10% of the time. But they stuck with their zone concepts, and they stuck with some pretty, you know, soft stuff initially, pre-snap looks that, okay, we'll take what you're giving us. And they were happy to do so. That, to me, was, I'm not going to say disconcerting, because I know Halfley will, you know, have plans going forward, etc. But, man, it was disheartening, let's say that, to see just the same approach
especially
for four quarters and overtime just continuously beat you.
Well, especially after Wyatt went out, right? It's like you can keep that game plan with Wyatt in, and you can keep hitting it because you know you can clog up the middle. But we don't really have an ability with Wyatt out to clog up the middle, especially with Kenny traded to the Dallas Cowboys, you know?
Correct. And that is
a weakness we have.
The loss of Devontae Wyatt in that game was very consequential, very much for the reasons you're stating there. And then plus, just you don't even have anything to replace him in the aggregate because they started running Nazir Stackhouse a bunch, who I actually think held up quite much better than the internet is having you believe as far as on early rundowns, which is what his purpose is. That's the player he's supposed to be, right? But I tell you what, when he was asked to rush the passer, yikes. I mean, absolutely nothing. And then they were able to take advantage, trying to get some of those, you know, between the tackle running plays that when Wyatt and company were all together were, you know, not exactly popping, you know, a couple 3-4 yard gains here or there. But once Wyatt went out, man, they were making hay between the tackles. And it's problematic, man. That's why the, you know, the idea of maybe changing your approach, maybe bringing down some safeties, maybe doing a few more run blitzes, firing off with Cooper and Walker and what have you. But yeah, that was unfortunate to say the least. And then all of this, look, whatever your approach is, whatever you're talking about coverage wise, whatever you're talking about with your personnel up front, okay, all of that is going to happen in an NFL game and you're going to get taken advantage of, or you're going to adjust, you're not going to adjust, whatever. You can mitigate all of it. You can have a 10 times better result, even with all that stuff, if you just fucking tackle. Oh my God, Corey, the missed tackles, the bad tackling in this game. And it was everybody. There wasn't anybody who was immune. Your best players, you got Edgerrin Cooper missing multiple tackles. You got Xavier McKinney coming down, which should have been a 1 yard gain, turns into a first down because McKinney misses a tackle. You know, it's like it was an epidemic on Sunday night. That has got to stop. They can't have another performance like that because it was ugly, man. That was some ugly shit, no doubt. All right, that's a great note to leave on before we head into Block is Fear.
Well, I saw in chat that they, you know, there's that Jordan did have more short and intermediate. Jordan did have more short and intermediate in this game. Clearly, some learning from the Browns game.
Short
but
and intermediate
not fast.
Is not quick game,
and yeah, that's not quick. And also, the thing that I'm going to say is, yeah, we can mix up our game, but I have not seen Matt LaFleur deliver a short, fast game in his tenure at the Green Bay Packers. And that is not to say that that is always needed. But the point is, there are teams like the Cleveland Browns, like potentially the Philadelphia Eagles, potentially the Lions at home or at Ford Field, where
Ford Field,
a short, fast game, disciplined, short, fast game could be the thing that takes us over the top for those type of opponents.
Very much agree. You can get tons of more on this game and everything going on with the Packers in the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. Goes out each Thursday morning. Next one goes out tomorrow morning. And you get a new one each and every morning after every single Packers game. There's a link in the description of this video for you to sign up. Cheesehead TV Nation. Tons of Cheesehead TV content in your inbox each and every week. Love to see it. You ready, Corey?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Let's get to it. Let's go.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. This week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series that's brought to you by Luigi's Pizza. Bring back the best memories of game day and pizza with one of the great Wisconsin originals. Luigi's original pizza is crispy, thin, and packed with unforgettable flavors you know and love. Made right there in Wisconsin since 1968. Bring back the memories and savor the taste of game day. Find Luigi's original in the freezer aisle at your local grocer. Luigi's Pizza, taste the tradition. Taste it, Corey.
Luigi's.
Now I'm hungry again. Every time. Every time, Corey.
I'm going to get some, I'm getting some Luigi's delivered to the house to have for tailgates.
Hell yes you are. Hell yes you
are. I think it would make a good, like, after post tailgate, like after the game, like just pop some Luigi's.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Post game pizza.
I love this idea. I'm all in.
Maybe I'll do the, maybe we'll do the breakfast one.
Oh, nice. Oh, you could do that. That's, oh, you could do that for a nooner, a noon kick. No, no, do that for the nooner kick, like before kickoff, like at 8 a.m. stuff. Get the breakfast pizza going. That's what you could do it all. You could have
maybe
pre-game
I'll put the pizza, breakfast pizza, post-game pizza. Maybe I'll put the breakfast pizza as the condiment for the Bloody Marys. Like you just put like a little triangle
chunk on it.
Yes.
Pizza in there. Perfect. That'll love nice. It. I also want to give a shout out to Bill Schmid, who on Carry the G Radio, unbeknownst to me, but knowns to him, I launched into our Luigi's read, and he literally had a plate full of Luigi's pizza there
nice.
In the studio. Love it, Bill.
Sweet.
That's what I'm talking about. Promotion,
well,
emotion, baby.
What flavor did he have? Pepperoni?
I believe he just had a pepperoni. It looked nice. Really good, and I was very hungry, much like I am right now. All right, let's take a look. Spin around the blogosphere here. Corey, you know, when you're like, you do this thing, right? You're on your phone, you're doing this, right? And you're looking at TikTok, right? And you're scrolling. And like, especially when it comes to football content, so much of it is Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, Green Bay Packers. Like, it's so, people are so fucking loud, man. It's so bad. I can't. It hurts my soul, right? So when I find content that isn't shouty, it speaks to me. It really speaks to me, including this guy. I don't know what his actual name is. It's the Landon Show on TikTok. He highlighted a particular play from this game. I love this. Let's take a look.
Can somebody tell me why this Packers edge right here, number 55, Kingsley Enagbari? Here's that spelling just so y'all know, so we're all clear. That guy right there. He has no business being this strong. And then watch him fly to the football. Just crash that edge, man. And, I mean, he lights up Javonte Williams, who's a load in his own right. But this dude, okay, the guy that he just ragdolls, watch him. He throws him, okay? And he threw him hard enough that he actually takes out Cowboys left tackle Tyler Guyton. Watch. So he just deleted two people. By being this freakishly strong, and it's gonna make even less sense in a second when I tell you that guy right there, number 89, that's Brevin Spanford. Brevin Spanford just so happens to be, you know, he's not just your prototypical NFL tight end. He's 6'7", 270.
Damn.
That's an extension of your offensive line, is what that is. That's Darnell Washington for the Steelers, is what that is. This guy, I just called him on my channel BNSF because he's a freight train. Just replace the N for and make it just nasty. Brevin Nasty Spanford, BNSF. I mean, what is he on? And whatever it is, I want some.
I love that. Oh, it's so good. They see, that's the kind of content I enjoy. Man,
you're not going to get that from Adam Schein.
No, you're not. No, you're going to get, wow, the Packers started 2-0, Corey. Now they're 2-1-1. You can't trust this team. Like, oh my God.
You know what? You know, I'm going to add something to Aaron Rodgers' statement. You know how I love Aaron Rodgers' statement about how you should never take feedback from someone you wouldn't take advice from.
Or you wouldn't ask advice of? Yeah.
You should never take any feedback about any NFL team from Jets, Mets, what else? Knicks, any kind of New York fans, because they don't know anything about championships. So, like, I mean, there's just no point. I know Rich Eisen is in that conversation, but honestly, like, if I have to throw Rich Eisen in as a collateral damage so I never have to listen to people like Adam Schein and freaking, what's the other guy on ESPN, Mike, whatever, who's a Jets fan.
Man.
Like, just if you're a Jets fan or a Mets fan, like, just shut up. Just shut up. Just shut your mouth. You don't know what you're talking about. You've never seen good football or good baseball. Go away.
Yeah, you're not wrong, Corey. I mean, there's certainly a case to be made there. Another non-shouty piece of content here that I really enjoyed was from a gentleman who calls himself 1265 Lombardi Guy. And what I like about this is apparently he has a ongoing theme, does it every Wednesday. He calls it White Noise Wednesday, where he takes narratives that are kind of prevalent in the blogosphere, right, on Packers Twitter specifically, and then kind of deconstructs and dismisses them. Let's take a look.
1265 Lombardi Guy. We're officially into quarter two of the football season. Packers 2-1-1. I'll take it. Yeah, I'd love 4-0, but it's not the case. And we got to keep up with Detroit because they're in the lead of the division. Is what it is. So, White Noise Wednesday. They need to fire Rich. Here's the deal. LaFleur believes in the process. He's not going to make any changes during the season. The Packers have always been in the bottom half for many years now in special teams. Yes, I know he was supposed to be the guru. They spent the money. They brought him in to elevate it up from what it had been. But he's not going to make a change until the end of the season if he does. That's just not his MO. We saw it with Pettine. We saw it with Barry. We saw it with the D-line coach last year. Next one, White Noise. Packers need to bring in cornerback veteran leadership to help on the back end. Yeah, this is White Noise from last week, from the Dallas game. Did you know that K-9 and CV had only allowed 10 completions up through week 3? 10, that's it. And now all of a sudden we need stuff on the back end? After one game, yeah, there's going to be tape. People are going to realize what happened. But at the end of the day, I don't think half was as aggressive as he needed to be. Enjoy the bye week. Go Pack, go.
I mean, so soothing. He's just there getting his steps in, kind of dismissing nonsense. I like it, man. That's some good content right there. I'm all about
that. I always
that.
Say
shout
no.
out. Shout out 1265 Lombardi Guy.
I have to be honest, I've literally pushed not interested because he just bores the shit out of me, but that's just me.
See, and that's we're just different that way.
That's why
and
we're different.
That's fine.
I just think
different
when he's
strokes
like,
for different folks.
1265 Lombardi Guy. I'm just like, oh my God, I don't want to slap you. But I hate everyone though, so I just every
I love
time
that you
says
say that for a gentleman
like,
who's literally walking
interested.
Around your neighborhood. You're probably gonna see
not
him
interested.
Down Shadow Lane at some point.
This is my favorite thing on TikTok is when you hold it down and it goes to not interested and then you tell the reason and you're just like, never show this to me again, ever. And TikTok keeps showing it to me, so I don't know what's going on. Now they're gonna show it to me forever because I've been in a show with it on. So thanks, Aaron.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Anything for you. Also, hey, you know, you want to talk about content that I know you will enjoy and engage with. How about Pax What She Said, friends Perry and Maggie getting Mina Kimes on their latest podcast, taking an overview of the first four games for the Packers heading into the bye week. Highly recommend everyone check it out. You can find it on all your podcast places. You can find it on their YouTube channel. Really great stuff with Maggie, Perry, and Mina. They kind of have, at this point, they've had her on like once a year for the last couple years and or last few years. And always a really good conversation, always really informative and engaging and fun and great, great convos about the pack. So highly recommend you check it out if you haven't yet. And then finally, Corey Banky, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, shout out to our friends. They're a gathering place who produce, obviously, and brew Care of the G Cream Ale for us. They are participating in, and Corey will be involved with, Craftoberfest this Saturday. That's right. The largest craft beverage sampling event returns to the Rush Expo. Guests will have unlimited sampling of hundreds of craft beverages, including beer, wine, spirits, and more. You must be 21 and over to attend, including the designated drivers out there. All attendees will receive a sampling glass and have access to unlimited samples. Saturday, October 4th, Corey will be pouring Carry the G Cream Ale and other gathering place selections. General admission is from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Rush Center. Information on how to attend can be found in a link in the description of this video or at rushcomplex.com. Do it, folks. You know you want to. And before we get to YouTube comments and everything, I want to take a look at the list. Look at this list. This is what's on offer.
Holy crap.
This is what's on offer, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that. That is a billion different drinks for you to try. And I also, Corey, I want to draw your attention to this. I don't know if you noticed this, but you see, can you put the list back up, please? Sorry. Well, just for two more seconds. See where Gathering Place is there? You know, triangle distribution. See? Up on the right hand side of triangle.
The G.
Look who's to the left. Oh, that's Line of Kugels. Oh, look. Look what they have on offer. Oh, Legacy Ale. So, ladies and gentlemen, I first of all, I hope they place you guys next to each other so there's a rumble. That's what I'm really looking forward to. But secondly, you yourself can go try some Carry the G, try some Legacy Ale, and see which one is better. Because I think the answer will be obvious.
And then when you do that, if you get the beer from me, I'm going to actually have you do a TikTok or like a short video we're going to post and you can do a review. So I'm going to give people, maybe I'll bring some Cheesehead TV swag. And so anybody comes and wants to do a review of here's what we'll do. I compared Carry the G to Legacy Ale, and here's why I hate Legacy Ale. That's the hook.
I love it. I love it. So yeah,
we're
Saturday
gonna make videos, people. We're gonna do some productive things. Come on,
do it, people. Go out,
free
see Corey.
Beer. I mean, well, it's not free. You gotta pay. And well, then you gotta buy tickets. It's unlimited.
Buy tickets, and then you get unlimited.
It's
beer
all you can drink
from 3 to 6.
I do think, from 3 to 6. I feel like, people are gonna be pretty drunk at 6 o'clock. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Well, here's the thing that you know, it's not like a frat house. You're not there like pounding beers as much and as fast as you can. Like
I haven't been, so I don't know.
The beers.
Never been.
You're sampling the drinks. Like, it's gonna be, I think that sounds like a great time. But that'll be Corey Banky on Saturday afternoon if you wanna, you know, hang out, try some Carry the G and or a billion other different craft beers and drinks. Like, it's the spot to be at. All right. Let's get to the YouTube comments. I know there are a few.
All right, we got Fausti. Fausti, thanks for super chat. Happy Fausti. Annual NFL Sunday afternoon nap weekend to all those who celebrate.
I like where your head's at. Hell yeah.
Fausti. Ed, all I want is that feeling of, holy crap, we've got a defense to return and to win out. It'll happen. We're playing some pretty crappy teams coming up, so it'll happen.
That does help.
Jerry right. WC, man, I need a therapy session, but I missed happy hour with y'all. How are the Eeyores doing? Are people generally hopeful?
Honestly, it was obviously some Eeyores, but it wasn't all Eeyore all the time. Let's put it that way.
I missed happy hour because I can't do it. I can't. I know what was going to happen, and I had to avoid it this week. I'm telling you, I wanted to be there, but I just knew as soon as I turned it on, I would just be depressed. So I decided to miss it. So sorry about that.
No problem.
Those of you that were trying to Banky bait, sorry. RCS 650.
Oh, Corey, there were a few.
RCS 650 retro watch party for the off week.
You know, that's a fun idea. If I can throw it together, I'll let you know. I'll put it up on Patreon. That's a fun idea.
Now we're going to work on We're going to work on review videos for Carry the Jeep. Porkmaster, I've been making a lot of jokes comparing that defensive performance to Joe Barry, but if this defense has the same weaknesses as Barry's, I don't know if I can handle it. Please talk me off the ledge. Thanks for Super Chat.
Wait, what? Okay. Oh, let's relax, everybody. Everybody, Chef Halfley is still Chef Halfley, and he's still a very good coordinator, and the defense is still going to be very good. Like, certainly caught themselves in a perfect storm on Sunday night, but there's nothing Joe Barry about it at all.
Dennis Towle Jr., great grandpa here. I see Dan Campbell lets his OC call off plays. Why doesn't Matt LaFleur do the same so Matt LaFleur can look at all the stuff on the field?
I just think, it's just not the way he wants to handle it, not the way he wants to approach it. But I get it, man. It's tough because whenever they have a game where there's a clock issue or an approach issue, it's always like, oh, he needs to be a CEO head coach. But mm-hmm. Calling plays and game planning and game designing and offensive football, that's what makes Matt really good. That's what he's good at, and that's why he's in the position he's in. So really hard to kind of turn around then and say, okay, I'm going to give that away. And he's talked many times, like, if he thinks that's the best thing for the Packers, for his team, that he'll do it. But I'd be shocked if he ever actually did it. You know what I mean? It's who he is.
I could see him doing it.
A football guy.
Yeah, I could see him doing it in phase two, like if they won the Super Bowl, and then like he's like, oh, and he's thinking about his legacy.
Right.
And,
like, yeah. Like, I don't.
Like, I'm
going to
make.
That
gonna develop,
like, I think that's
guys
a possibility. Yeah. Right.
Because he's a pretty young dude, so I think a lot of times it comes from experience.
That's a very young dude. Talking to us, dude. Come on. That's a very young
Brandy game. Lewis, one bad week on defense out of four is an improvement. But damn, when the wheels fall off, they fall the F off. Fix that in real time and we are good.
Brandy, I got to admit, I thought you'd come like six guns a-blazing last night at happy hour, you and the hubby. But I completely understand. I'll also give you a shout out and let you know that Ty Summers just signed with another NFL team. So I know you're very excited. I can't remember which one, but I just saw you signed.
Mike Witt. Hey, guys. Eeyore number two here. Hypothetical. Do you think if McDaniels gets fired in Miami, Matt LaFleur will bring him in as an assistant next year? Thanks.
It's entirely possible. Or I think more likely it would be something, if McDaniels doesn't find a role as an offensive coordinator somewhere, that he brings him in much like he did with Saleh or Luke Getsy last year as a consultant type, or, a couple other guys that he's had in and out of the doors. I don't know if he'd bring him on full-time staff member, but I do think that there'd be an open door for him. I don't think there's any doubt there.
RCS 650, got my Bear Down shirt today and immediately put it on. I have my new favorite shirt. It's soft. The graphic pops. It's amazing. Buy one, people.
Look at you, RCS. Thanks RCS.
Support. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man.
Actually, you know what was funny is last night I was talking to Rachel, and I was like, you know what I should do? I was like, that unboxing video popped off. I should just buy all the other stuff.
Buy more stuff. Yes.
Well, no, I should buy some more stuff and then do another unboxing video. But instead of keeping the stuff, I need more giveaway stuff for Cheesehead TV. So I was like, we'll do an unboxing video, and then we'll have, because I'm running out of giveaway stuff. We've been doing a lot of gift baskets.
Right, we have. Dual purpose. I like it.
Carl Van Beckham, Corey Behnke starring in Molière's The Misanthrope. Great show, guys. And to the fans freaking out after a tie, a lot of ball game left. I can't remember.
We had to
which
do Molière at school.
I did.
I was just going to ask, but do you remember which one you did?
No.
I can't remember which one
Molière
I did.
So much.
I will say the Imaginary Invalid, they just did Imaginary Invalid here in New York at one of the places in Midtown, and it was the production I saw was phenomenal. And I'm with you. I'm not a Molière fan, but it can be really good in the right hands.
I haven't really met a French playwright I like, but here we are. But yeah, I don't even remember what I did. I can't remember what Molière did.
I can't either.
Mike,
for the life of me.
My prediction for O-line next year: right tackle, Belton, right guard, rookie, center Tom, left guard Jenkins, left tackle Morgan. Thoughts?
What? A lot going on there. I think Elton Jenkins is most likely gone. I think Zach Tom will stay at right tackle. I think it'll be between Belton and Morgan at left tackle as far as duking it out. I don't know, man. I get the idea of moving Tom, but you paid him. You paid him to be a tackle. You paid him to be your right tackle. I'd be very surprised if they moved him to center.
Yeah. I don't know. I agree with on Mike's super chat. I agree that they are not going to solidify the line this year and next year. So I do agree on that.
There'll be a lot of juggling, right? I got that.
Why am I a ball of hate? I believe in love. I just don't like.
Wait, someone calls you a ball of hate. Why do you read? Yeah, just read the super chats. You don't read the rest of the chat. Why do you like? Well, you know, like the haters are there.
Sometimes I find the little nuggets that are not super chats that are like good to have, you know. And so then when you're looking for the nuggets,
you find the stuff
you
that
get
tries to
mother
trigger
nuggets.
Me. I get it. I know.
But
I know what
you're
doing.
Here's the thing.
I see you, Banky.
I'm just frustrated with, you know, I'm frustrated with casuals. You know what I'm saying? Like. Just not into this casual NFL thing, okay? And in the past, I would rant about Packers fans, but I think it's really just casual fans. It's not whether you're a Packers fan or whatever. It's just I'm not into the whole casuals game, and then I'm not into this whole, like, national media, like, hey, we'll lift them up, we'll tear them down. We don't know what the fuck we're talking about. We're just going to talk out of our asshole. We're not going to have any end of evidence to back it up. And I just don't like this. I don't like this world, and I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. So, you know, if we have to, it's just like annoying. And I think it's the algorithm. It's the algorithms are there to rage bait me.
They are. Now you're getting it. Now you're hitting it. This is exactly it, Corey. This is exactly it. Silicon Valley is worming its way into your brain. You got to set this stuff down, man, and walk outside, tend to your garden.
I can't do it.
Do some Green Bay gardening.
I'm trying to touch grass. I'm trying.
I know.
I'm trying. But
this
the
is
thing
how they
is,
get
like,
you.
It's the feedback loop, though, right? Because
yes,
it's like they're rage baiting everybody. And
yes.
So now the national
and everybody
media
responds
type
to the rage bait, and it becomes a snowball effect. Yes. Yes.
And it always happened. Here's the thing. It always happened, but it happened on this, like, broadcast level that nobody really watched.
A very different
and now it's
level.
In the bloodstream of everything. And then you also have this like, people who are calling themselves influencers, which I don't understand. There's this one guy. I don't know if you follow him. I think I forwarded you. Dottie, Daadi. He, like, goes after New York influencers. He's like,
oh,
get
I love
ready
him.
With me. He, like, he sits
oh
back
my
like
God,
this. He's like,
guys.
Oh, my
that
God, you guys.
Brilliant.
I fucking love that dude.
Love
that
him.
Dude is one of the greatest him. Things that's ever happened to the internet because, like.
So good.
It's just. It's,
we need that for the Packers. Too, we need that for Packers Twitter.
I want to be that.
Oh, my God, you guys.
Oh, my
they,
God.
They
1265
gave up
Lombardi
points.
Guy, and I'm walking around the neighborhood, and they're not going to get rid of the special teams, you guys. Get ready with me while I walk around Lombardi neighborhood, and I, oh, my God, you guys. The Packers didn't give me any merchandise, and...
That's the other thing. Like, I'm also a little annoyed that the Packers Pro Shop keeps giving, like, influencers free stuff, but I digress.
That sounds like jealousy to me, sir.
It is jealousy. That is jealousy. Every time I look on my feed, there's someone who's getting free shit from the Packers Pro Shop, and I'm just like,
and you're like,
I'm over here.
I'm literally right across the street.
I'm literally right here.
We got to talk to our friends at 1265 Lombardi. What is happening? Oh, so good. Oh, you mean you didn't get any whiteout gear? You didn't get any winter warning gear sent to your home, Banky? I'm shocked.
Alex Earle did, though. Alex Earle did. People you've never heard of did.
I was
I'll
just
see this
ask,
like
who is that? Should I know who that is?
You'll see this person, and I'll be like, who the hell is that? And like, thank you, Packers. And it's like them and their boyfriend and all this gear. And then I look, and they have like 3 million followers. And then I want to turn into the Dottie guy to be like, how the hell does this person have 3 million followers? For what?
You're just old. See, this is the other issue. We're just old, Corey. We're just old, man. This is a whole world that has passed us by. The Muppets.
It's fine.
We are. What do you mean turn into? We are Statler and Waldorf. That is exactly who we are. You know this. Why do we always come here? I guess we'll never know. It's like a kind of torture to have to watch the show. Dum, 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 dum. That's us. You know this.
True. Oh, dear.
I mean, it's 18 years we've been doing this. 18 years ago, yeah, we were on the come up. You know, we were young. We were on the cutting edge. Now, it's a whole different world. You know, like, we engage with it, but it's not ours. You know, we still have our world. We still have our moment. We have our community. It's great. I love it. But, man, yeah, it's all different now. Yeah, it is annoying.
It's annoying.
I give you that. It is annoying. No doubt.
Mike Witt with the rage bait. Super chat of the night. Next transplants, can we get 1265 guy on, please?
So good. It's so good. Excellent, Mike.
You know what?
That's
you know
Mike's best chat ever.
You know what's really funny is, like, Nagler had no idea I did not like that guy, but Nagler's ability to subconsciously always troll and rage bait me has no equal.
See, what's so great is because Corey sends me all this stuff during the week of, like, people shouting and people, like, ripping the Packers or whatever, blah, blah, blah. He does it all the time, like, all the time. Like, that's what he does, right? Because that gets him going. And I'm, like, you're 1,000,000,000% correct, Corey. I counter-programmed Blogosphere for that very reason. Because I knew you'd be like, this is so boring, whatever. But it's like, it speaks to me, and it is the antithesis of the vast majority of the nonsense that gets produced online when it comes to coverage of the Packers or the NFL.
True story.
Very.
I do think 1265 Lombardi guys are contributing to it, but that's for another day.
Correct.
I will come up with my white label, my white paper analysis of this.
Your white
will be okay, it's forthcoming.
It's okay, forthcoming. I can't wait. I'm very excited. How are we doing?
I hate ties.
We done?
Ties are annoying. Ties are like ties
is that
have
why?
To be.
That's it. That's not all the blogosphere, the ecosphere, or TikTok, or the national media. None of it. None of it. It's about the tie. You're just annoyed. For 2 weeks now, you get to be annoyed about the tie.
Now I know how, like, 1920s and 1930s and 1940s Packers fans feel. You know how many ties? We had so many ties.
Think about the fact that they had a championship robbed because of a tie.
Why? I thought the NFL was trying to get rid of ties. I thought this was the whole point. Like, why don't we go into double overtime? Like, what are we doing?
I was just going to say, you know what's so
funny?
Don't
we just make more money? Don't we just make more money?
When they made this change, everyone said, well, there's going to be a lot more ties if they do this. And now, lo and behold, here we go. First tie. Here we go. Because why wouldn't you? You know, it's like, now,
we
I don't
haven't had
talk
ties. Like, when's
the
last
thing.
Time? It's been like 20 years since we had a tie. It feels like.
No,
since
that's
Packers
not true.
Had
we had no.
Since
there
the
was
Packers
that
had one.
2018, there was a tie. Yeah,
whatever.
I was gonna say.
Whatever.
Corey's knocking over cans.
Whatever. Della was like 20. Della immediately was like.
Our producer's like 2018.
Oh my God, you guys! 2018. Get ready with me while I go through the Packers ties right now.
I'm dying.
Oh my God, you guys, the Packers tied.
What I love about this whole segment here for the last like 10 minutes is just Corey going through it. Like, I want to clip this. Tyler, I know you stopped watching a long time ago, but if you're still watching, please just clip the last 20 minutes and just call it Corey Banky goes through it. So good.
I mean, the funny thing is, if we would have lost, it would have been worse. But, like, the tie is just like, I disagree with Kay Adams, too. Kay Adams was like, oh, yeah, you know, this was a loss. I disagree. I think the tie was better than a loss, but it's not.
Of course it was better than a loss. Here's the thing. It feels like a loss in Green Bay. It feels like a win in Dallas, but it's a tie. And that's all that matters, because God bless it, you get to December and you're looking at playoff seeding. You're going to be glad it wasn't a loss. You're going to be real glad it wasn't a loss. Now, 100%. Would you prefer it was a win? Of course you would. But you're going to be real happy it wasn't a loss.
Well, because it was a win. That. Well, here's the short-term satisfaction, because I stupidly looked at the NFC North standings. And right. If it would have been a win, we would still be on top. But you know what? I'm holding out hope. It's fine. Shaheem McCoy McMinnick. See, the longer we wait, the more we get super chats. So that
more super chats pile up.
thanks, super chat. What are your guys' take on Romeo's market value? Feels like he's right around that 4-year, $20 million mark. How much do you think GB could offer him to come back?
Yeah, I agree with your assessment. That's why I said when we were talking about it in the news section, I'll be very interested to see what the numbers are if they do lock this in, because I know Ken reported it this offseason. Romeo's people approached Gutekunst during the combine about an extension, and they apparently gave a number that Brian was like, yeah, that's adorable. No, thanks. But yeah, I agree that that's probably his market value, but I can't fathom the Packers paying that given.
Why?
Again, because of what they just invested at the position. They just, by the way, they just extended Watson for a year at what, 13, 15 million, whatever it was. And they just drafted two wide receivers. Like,
But nobody has proven better at wide receiver number one in the last and a half years.
But that's the other point. You're drafting and developing. You're developing guys to become that guy that Dobbs is right now. Dobbs wasn't that guy when he was a rookie. Matthew Golden could turn into that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that don't do it. I'm not saying they won't do it. I'm just like, the number is going to be very interesting if they do it, because I can't imagine they pay him market rate. It's going to be a kind of like what they did when Ted's last two deals that he did right before, like, Brian took over, when he signed the last two transactions he had were extensions for Corey Linsley and Davante Adams. And it took like a year. And the Davante Adams deal was an insane steal because it was a very team-friendly thing. And if they sell Romeo on, stay here, you're with Jordan, you got a good thing going, you're going to pump up your numbers, let's do maybe a 3-year deal, right? They did mm-hmm. this with Cobb. Well, Ted did this with Cobb on when he was coming off his rookie deal. You're with Aaron, you're going to pump up your numbers, blah, blah, blah. Now, that didn't happen because he got hurt. But
yeah,
it's like that. If they can sell him on that and he agrees to it, that is a path where I could see them. That is something that could happen. That could materialize. But market rate, I'd be shocked. I'd be very surprised.
Yeah. Steve Peters, we'll Corey did not watch the Packers in 1978 when they tied the Vikings. Both teams went 8-7-1. Vikings went to the playoffs. I was 2 years old.
Okay.
I was two.
Yeah, but also, Steve, yes, correct. But also, a lot played out throughout that season. You're assuming what? The Packers are going to lose 7 games this year, or now 8 maybe, because there's an extra game? Like, no, this Packers team is a lot better than that team.
I agree. Oh, ties are annoying. And now we have a bye week.
That's what makes it worse. Wait, so is that all the comments? Shout out our Patreon members now? Well, I want to give a shout out to our Patreon members. You guys are the lifeblood of everything we do. I cannot tell you how much we appreciate all of your support. Everybody who's on Patreon, thank you so much. The happy hours, I got to admit, Sarah last night was saying, like, you always are in a better mood after happy hour than you are going into it. And that is 100% fact. Dude, it's such a great forum. I love talking to Packers fans. Even last night, we had disagreements. There were a bunch of people. I don't agree with everything everybody says. They don't agree with me. That's what I enjoy about it. It's a really respectful, really charged, sometimes, depending on the week, environment that people can just get it off their chest, but we're all Packers fans. I love it. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good forum. What was the ratio on special teams last night?
You would have been okay. You would have been okay. Very little special teams talk. A lot of defensive talk.
See that? I went in thinking there, it was
I will say
be
the
like
most heated moment. The most heated moment last night was from on special teams, though. Special teams discussion, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Also, I'm gonna give a shout out to our
special team.
Carry the G Club members here on YouTube. You guys are amazing each and every day on daily, but certainly during watch party. Really appreciate the support as always. Corey, you got anything else for the fine folks at home before we head out into the evening and into the bye week?
Have fun gardening this weekend, everybody. Make sure to plant your garlic. Garlic planting time. Bye week is a perfect time to plant your garlic.
That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.